Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today. Before we get into my next guest, I wanted to remind you that if you're listening on your computer, you can also listen from your smartphone by just putting in ecrmobile.com. Pull up our app. You can listen to us on the go. We have a daily 20-minute interview and a daily one-minute highlight you can listen to. And you can also go to our audio library at exitcoachradio.com and listen to our archive of over 700 advisors, authors, and thought leaders interviews, all categorized into 40 different topic file folders. So join us there at exitcoachradio.com. My next guest is Nelly Akalp, and she's joining us from corpnet.com. She's a CEO and founder of that organization there in Westlake Village. And they're an online legal document filing service that helps entrepreneurs start their businesses. And Nellie's here today to chat about the importance of registering a business, and she's going to give some basic advice about business structures, what structure is best for what, which types of businesses, why it's important to incorporate, when to incorporate, and in what state to incorporate, which has a major bearing on a lot of things. So, Nellie, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Bill. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Nellie. Tell us a little bit about your company, CorpNet, and how it got started, and a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been an entrepreneur since 1997 when I entered into the document filing industry right after law school and came out with my first company, which I later on sold in 2005 to a publicly traded company, took 3 years off, and started CorpNet.com, my current company, in 2009 at the height of the recession that we had. And I believe you guys were just talking about it with your previous guest. That was a really tough time. But CorpNet provides new and existing business owners with the most comprehensive, cost-effective services when it comes to starting a business, managing an existing business structure, incorporating your business, forming an LLC. We offer the services in all 50 states at a fraction of the cost of what an attorney or other professional would charge you. And we're here Monday through Fridays, and we're willing to serve you and make sure that your business is started legally and it's started on the right foot. And we take the hassle and paperwork out of the business owner's plate so that they can focus on what they do best, which is growing and running their business.
Great, great, great. Thanks for that background, Nellie. Now, a lot of our listeners are seasoned business owners, and they've set up their business many years ago, and a lot's changed since they might have set up their business. There weren't as many options as there are now. Back then, you would set up your regular C corporation, and off you went. And today, there are a lot more flow-through organizations, S-corps, and a lot more different types of organizations like LLCs. So can you explain a little bit about the different structures, the basics of what's available today?
Absolutely. So the sole proprietorship is the simplest form of business entity. However, without the protection of a corporate shield, personal assets are exposed to business liabilities. And even where a small business owner doesn't have assets, for example, today, a judgment against that business owner can last up to 22 years. Therefore, in light of how easy and inexpensive it is to incorporate or form an LLC with all the online resources available, the real question only that's stands out there for the small business owner: should I form an LLC, a corporation, or an S corporation? And for the small business owner, here are the key factors to consider in selecting which business structure is right. The LLC, also referred to as the limited liability company, basically protects the owner's personal assets and shields you from any liability that the business would incur, and just as a corporation would. However, with the LLC, you're getting the best of both worlds in that you get all the liability afforded to you, the liability protection, without all the formalities that a typical C corporation would normally have, and how the members and the shareholders of a C corporation would have to comply with. So nowadays, in easy, you know, in light of how easy it is, most small business owners opt for the LLC because it's really, really giving you all that legal protection, but without all the formalities. Another entity that's really hot amongst business owners is an S corporation. An S corporation is great for a small business owner who can qualify. The IRS places limits on the number of owners and who can be an owner in an S corporation. Also, you have to be a U.S. resident or a citizen. So as long as you can meet those qualifications, and S corporation is great for a small business owner who also wants to be an employee of the S corporation.
Great overview. Thank you so much for that. Now, what we've heard in the past is that one of the downsides of the S corporation is that all shareholders, if a distribution is made, all shareholders have to receive that distribution, whereas if you're an LLC, you can have distributions that are go to some shareholders and not others, unless you're an SLLC. Is that true?
Yes, it is. And again, Bill, I want to reiterate, I'm not a tax expert. I'm a small business expert, but you are absolutely correct. And typically, most tax experts, CPAs, accountants do suggest a garden variety LLC in the first year of business, since the first year is usually riddled with losses. And an S-Corp shareholder can only lose up to his or her basis with an S-Corporation. So you are right, and typically that is correct. With the S-Corp, when there is a distribution, they all have to take it, whereas with the LLC, that's not the case. With the LLC, it basically can be disproportionate to your amount of membership within the LLC, and hence the reason why the LLC is most recommended typically for a small business owner these days. And it's referred to as the hot business entity.
And your point is well taken that, of course, if you're a listener, you should be talking with your tax advisor, considering all the factors that go into this. So tell us, a lot of people are saying, well, I want to be a Nevada LLC or a different state, a Delaware corporation, or different types of things. Why do people go that might have a California business, for instance, go to different states to incorporate?
Basically, it's a misnomer and a hype. The general rule of thumb is that if you're running a business within a certain state, the rule is to incorporate within your home state. Home state being the place that you're physically located, your business is physically actually operating the business, the shareholders are located, you're actually transacting business. And there is this hype of incorporating in Nevada because of not having to pay state income taxes, or Delaware because it's pro-unanimity, you know, laws regarding corps and LLCs, or Wyoming these days. However, again, these are all hypes, and small business owners and entrepreneurs do not realize what they're getting themselves into. And oftentimes, once this happens, they're subjecting themselves to two states' laws and filing requirements. And I can give you an example of that. Let's say you're running a business in California and you decide to set up in Nevada or Delaware. Frankly, if you set up in Delaware or Nevada and you're physically actually located in the state of California and running your business out of California, your employees are located in California, transacting business in California, well, if you go into a California bank and try to deposit checks, that California bank is going to say, where are your California documents? So oftentimes what we'll see is a Nevada corporation or LLC that's set up but is actually doing business in California, having to foreign qualify themselves in the state of California. So ultimately, at the end of the day, you're subjecting yourself to a ton of more filing requirements, fees, and much more, you know, federal and state laws that you wouldn't have to be required to pay had you just started in your home state. So our recommendation is that consider incorporating in the state that your business is physically located and you're actually operating within that state.
Yeah, and especially, I guess, if you're a small company and you're just starting off, you don't need all the complexities of that. Now, what about businesses that are established and they're saying, we want to segregate some of our assets, or people that own rental properties? Do you see a lot of them coming in and saying, well, we want to establish either a sister corporation to hold certain assets, or again, back in the situation where somebody owns properties, they want to have an entity own that? And what are the benefits of segregating those liabilities into different types of corporations or entities?
That's a great question, Bill. The general rule of thumb is for the real estate, and especially with real estate investments, we refer to it as a real estate LLC. Now, if you're someone like me who I invest a ton in commercial real estate, and in my case, I invest in many different states, but what I do is I have one holding company that, you know, I use for all my different commercial investments, and I put all the different commercial investments into one LLC. But I deal with an agency who manages all the property, so for me, I'm getting the income, I'm receiving the income in the state of California. As such, the LLC is set up in California for all my different commercial investments. In the case of somebody who is actually managing and taking care of their own investments, again, the general rule of thumb is set up the LLC where the actual asset is set up. This way, again, it provides another layer of protection and privacy for you.
Oh, okay. That's good advice. So, the general consensus that I've heard from people is don't own things like rental properties outright, because if somebody slips and falls or if something bad happens on that, you're really exposing yourself to liabilities that having the correct entity owning those assets could shield you from at least some of those liabilities, if not all. Does that sound about right?
That is absolutely correct, and hence that's why we always recommend you to put the asset, whether it's a rental property or a vacation property, within an LLC, and hence the reason why real estate LLCs, as they're referred to, is so hot these days.
Yeah, I can imagine. So is it a good idea to, if somebody says, I'm contemplating buying some rental property, should they come talk to you all first about establishing the entity first, or is it better to buy it first and transfer it in, or is there some better way to do that than another?
We have both cases. I think to make sure all your, everything is legally set up properly, the best scenario is to set up the entity first and then have the entity purchase the property in the entity name so that there doesn't have to be any type of transfer happening. But again, we've had situations whereby the client has purchased the piece of real estate or several pieces of real estate, and then they have transferred it into the LLC. So either way, we've dealt with both situations, and we have a ton of resources and a ton of content on this actual particular question that you're bringing up within this interview as far as real estate LLCs go and how to house multiple properties into an asset and what type of asset. But the general, you know, rule of thumb is definitely use an LLC for your real estate, and if you can, set up the entity first and then, you know, have the entity purchase the asset.
And I know, just for our listeners' sake, I know another good reason to have properties owned in things like LLCs is that it's very easy to gift one share of a 100 share LLC to a son or daughter, for instance, for your estate planning, whereas it's very difficult, it's actually pretty impossible to deed one room of a 10 room building to them on deed. So when you're trying to do your planning, it's better to have an entity that can be fractionalized and given away to different people, you can give away or sell or whatever you want to do. So there's a lot of good reasons why when you're starting a business, you should talk to someone who helps develop and set up these. As you can tell from our interview with Nellie, she's got a lot of expertise and a lot of resources that she can provide to you. So Nellie, how do our listeners best get in touch with you and CorpNet?
Quickest way is to visit our website at www.corpnet.com. Our offices are open Monday through Fridays from 6 a.m. until 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Fridays. Live chat business filing experts are standing by through live chat or by phone to answer any and all inquiries you have. You can also pick up the phone and just dial 1-888-281-7111. Again, that number is 1-888-281-7111. Or just reach out to us through email to info@corpnet.com.
You're a great resource for our listeners, Nellie. I appreciate you coming on and explaining many of these topics so clearly and so succinctly, and I hope our listeners will take advantage of getting in touch with you and learning more about how they can have a business structure set up, and you offer them a free consultation as well, I understand, at your company.
Yes, we do. We actually have a ton of resources, Bill, that's available right through the homepage of our website. If you're wondering where to incorporate, we have those questions for you. We also have a business structure wizard, which is an application that assists you as to which business structure to go with depending on your business purpose and your tax structure. It's been created by myself and a few of the other attorneys and CPAs on staff here. So if you're wondering which type of entity you should choose, just click on our business structure wizard. It'll take you through about a 3 to 5 minute online questionnaire, and it will pop out which type of entity is the correct choice of entity for you and your business. And then we have a ton of other resources, including a free name check, free business name search, and we can do all of it and more here for you at corpnet.com.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope you'll come back and talk to us again sometime.
I would love to. You have a great day as well, and thank you for the opportunity.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay with us.
Business owners, if you came back from lunch and there was a resignation letter on your desk, which employee would you really, really not want it to be from? What are you doing to prevent this from happening? At Exit and Retirement Strategies, we design plans that attract, motivate, and retain key employees. For a free consultation, call Bill Black, the Exit Coach, at 866-370-3774. Call today.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.